Well, hi everyone who is recording. I'm a bit stupid. I'm sorry. I didn't start the recording when it was supposed to be. Welcome to Once Upon a Time in Geekland for those who are listening on the recording. I'm truly, truly, truly sorry. I haven't been doing a show for months and I just forgot that I was supposed to click record. And there was also a problem with the broadcast, so it kind of like slipped my mind to do proper sync. I am so, 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 so sorry. And we were talking about our first part of the show. We were talking about benefits of games. So let's do a recap. Considering that how much of a lo-fi music I still have left, I have two songs left. So yes, what are benefits one more time of games? First, it's a good way to relieve stress, and it's a good way to cure depression, because people may feel challenged, may feel kind of goal in their life. People may feel alive. People may just enjoy the story. A lot of games have a lot of awesome stories. Like, I don't know, Detroit Become Human, Witcher series, Cyberpunk is an awesome story. Hideo Kojima's games are something interesting. Like, you kind of have to think, what's the meaning of all of this? Another good reason, another benefit, in my case, it kind of helps me cure my eyesight, because I'm like a farsighted person and I had like a cross eye, I think it's called. Yes, like when your eye is not like straight, you kind of, in my case, I look straight, but for people it looks like it's somewhere in the corner of my eye. So by playing a lot of games, like especially active games like Counter-Strike, Call of Duty, Need for Speed, all those shooters, kind of helped me to make my eyes stronger, like to strengthen my muscles, my eye muscles. So that's another good benefit. One more is finding friends and connections, especially during due to the COVID that happened. Can you imagine the COVID started like 4 years ago? I know, it kind of, whenever you look back, few recent years look so like, it feels like it went too fast, truly. I know, 2020, 2021, for Ukrainians especially, 2022, 2023 went super fast, because we kind of lived in stress. And when you live in stress, it kind of, time passes by faster, I think. It kind of feels like this. So COVID and the war in Ukraine and all these like world situations help us find friends online or reconnect to our loved ones or to friends online. Like, me and my girlfriend, we play games from time to time. We watch movies from time to time. And me and my best friend from Ukraine, who I haven't seen like for almost three years, like 2.5, we constantly play games from time to time. We chat online on Discord. Like, I've been talking to him today. We've been playing Helldivers, which I will talk about in the next part, which is our recommendation on movie and games part. So yes, so games have a lot of benefits. Considering like non-beneficial part, I would say it doesn't really have a lot of, I don't know, cons towards this claim. Because yeah, if you spend a lot of time on the computer, your eyes may be sore, your back may hurt, your knees may hurt. Arthritis may come to your life if you sit for too long. But if you spend time wisely and you do not always sit at the computer and do not do like 20-hour sessions... God damn, why am I yawning? I'm not sure why. If you spend time properly, everything will be great. There are like only benefits, I would say. And I don't know, people say that games make us angry, however it's coming not from games. Games help us relieve stress. Even like there was a study that cruel games help relieve stress, because you kind of, all your anger you put out on like NPC and characters, you can shoot anyone, you can blow up anything, I don't know, you can spill lava in Minecraft and just enjoy chaos. And because of it, you will not spill lava in real life. So what's so bad about it? We're all kind of crazy. We all have those intrusive thoughts, I think they call it. Like whenever, I know, you kind of want to do something bad, and then you're like, they're just a thought, nothing special, you forget about it. So games help you to kind of accomplish those intrusive thoughts, and no one will get hurt, truly. So yes, I advise everyone play games from time to time. It's a cool way also, like, there are different games for everyone, absolutely. Whatever you like, there is a game about it. You will love great stories. You're welcome. A lot of AAA games are there. You want to spend time with your friends? Okay, online games. There are online games. If you're a fan of Pokemon card game or Magic the Gathering, there are online versions. There is a Hearthstone. You like role-playing, there is a Warcraft, there is Dungeons & Dragons online. So everything is online, and why not playing games? You have your phone, you can always play on your phone, so why not? Just if you're playing on your phone, just sit straightly so your neck is not getting tired and is in proper posture. So yes, let's go on a 2 music break. After this, I'll come back to our second part, which is recommendations on movies and games. I've been playing and watching a lot of games, so I have something to recommend. I have something to say that is not really good. So yes, stay tuned, and we'll hear each other really soon. That's
Geekland.
And we go on a music break.
We were good, we were gold. Kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't. Built a home and watched it burn. I didn't wanna leave you, I didn't wanna lie. Started to cry, but then remembered I can buy myself flowers, write my name in the sand, talk to myself for hours, see things you don't understand. I can take myself dancing, and I can hold my own head. Yeah, I can love me better than you can.
Me, baby.
ghosts kiss the stars.
My bad. I truly apologize. There was accidentally another song on the playlist before Japanese lo-fi chill hop. Yes, I hope you like Japanese lo-fi. I don't know. For some reason, I kind of find it even better than a regular lo-fi. So, I don't know. You can kind of count it as a recommendation because it's
Once Upon a Time in Geekland.
And that's our second part, recommendations on movies, games, and whatever geeky I can recommend. I don't know. What can I start with? You know, I couldn't say, like, truly, since the previous episode, I've been watching, like, I spend some time just watching one show. I have, like, a long, long list of stuff I want to watch, and it kind of goes, like, I usually spend months, like, watching one stuff, but anyway... I can say that I've seen a few cool stuff. First, let's start with games. You know, games is easier. I usually have like one, two games to recommend like each episode. So you may probably heard about it if you are in games. You may probably have not heard about it if you're not really into games or in game news, or you just play like Sims 4 on your boyfriend's laptop. So. There is a new king in games right now, in online games, and it's Helldivers 2. So wait,
Helldivers 2.
Damn, I truly love this roadcaster. What's this game about? Basically, that's like second version of a game. And it's kind of really close to the movie. I'm not sure how it's called in English. In Ukrainian, it was called like Star Troopers, I think. So the game is about a super Earth, like a super Earth, basically like a one big country, one Earth, and people just decided to populate other planets. However, all those planets get invaded by some box aliens or robot aliens, and we as Helldivers are like super soldiers whose mission is to rebellate all those invaded planets. And you may think like, okay, it's maybe a good plot, not for everyone, but what's so hype about it? Well, the hype is for a few reasons. First, it's a truly funny game. You play with three of your friends or online teammates, so that's a co-op game. You can play single. I just forgot to turn the camera on Twitch. I just want to remind you, we have a Twitch, ABG Radio Aura, and we have Instagram, geekland.show. So, yeah, let's return. So, that's a co-op game. And it's, first of all, just as any co-op game, like, as it was Little Company, as a Pal War, like, any game has co-op. It's kind of just funny to play. Another one, it's super full of action. So, that's kind of like just playing... Invasion to Vietnam, I don't know, you know, just like, good morning America, all those like stuff, so that's kind of about this game. You just run around, you complete missions, you just annihilate aliens, bugs, like with miniguns, with grenades, with pistols, and you can call an airstrike on them, and you can call like a laser strike on them, and you can call... bombing on them, so you can like do a lot of super action stuff, and because of this like super action, and you can easily die there is a friendly fire, your friends can kill you and then like kind of revive you, it became super fun like to play. And another truly interesting thing that like basically your map is divided into two parts. There is like a robot aliens and bug aliens, and each part has their own planets, and everyone liberates the same planet, basically. So everyone has a big planet. They kind of have missions on different parts of the planet. However, like, 20,000 people play one planet, and you can see a count, like how many percent of this planet is liberated. So the more people play on the same planet, the more they complete the missions, and the faster they rebel, they make the planet free from aliens. Yes, and it's super fun. You kind of you feel like a big community. And it's, I don't know, when I've seen this, I was like, damn, it's like so much awesome idea. You can kind of, even when you start playing, you can kind of feel some small action like on your screen, like because you start on a ship above the planet, and you can kind of see all this like bombings and whatever, and it's kind of like other players doing all that stuff. So yes, and if everyone loses, like, that means the planet has been invaded by aliens, so no one, like, 0% liberated. Yes, liberated, sorry. For some reason, I was trying to say liberated. So yes, it's an awesome game, and another interesting part is about the developers. So it's kind of, I would say, they're kind of indie developers in some way, so it's not like AAA Ubisoft developer. And it kind of feels that they're more connected to communities than just to money. And what's funny and what's interesting, so in one of interviews, I think the CEO of the company said they have a special guy called Game Master who controls the battlefield. So the guy really can wake up at night, go to his laptop, and if he sees that one planet is being liberated too fast, he increases the difficulty for everyone. So there will be more aliens on every battle. So people would lose more, and there would be more competition, more like desire to play more of this game. And it's super cool. I know, it feels like not scripted, you know? You never really know what may happen next. And I've been playing it today, and it's super, super... I know, so much full of action. You constantly run from all these bugs. You try to think smart to outsmart them. They then just like jump on you and just kill you in one shot, or they just like run over you and you're dead. So it's truly fun game, and if you're into action games, truly try it and try it with your friends. I think it's cost like $30. It's not even 60, so that's really awesome. Yes, anything else for games? I wouldn't say. I can say something that I don't recommend. I don't recommend playing Warframe. I played it yesterday as a part, like on my stream, people can use Twitch points like to order some kind of game. And one guy ordered like one stream of Warframe, and I played this game, and I can say that it's super grindy. Yes, it's action, and the only interesting part in this game is just cutting aliens too. It's another game about humans and aliens, so yes, that's... But the game is old, it's like 2013, but that's an online game, and people still play it, and people spend a lot of money in this game. And I don't know why they're doing this. And I don't know why I'm yawning. So yes, that's the game I don't recommend. For the shows, I want to recommend. The first would be an anime called Vinland Saga. So that's an anime I have seen, I think, in 2021, the first season. And I haven't been really watching it like carefully. So now there is two seasons on Netflix. And so what's the anime is about? As you know, all animes, they kind of have different plots, but obviously, but they can be in any kind of topic. Like, they can be in modern sci-fi, it can be about future, about, I don't know, another world, another change in bodies. And this is like just an anime about Vikings and their way to conquer England. So that's like the beginning of, like, end of 10th, beginning of 11th century, when Vikings were like cool people traveling around the world, being to America. If you didn't know, Vikings are the first Europeans to visit America, because from Iceland, it was kind of like it's closer to America, and just they accidentally got there. And I think they call it like Winland. That's kind of like why is the show is called. And the show is about a guy, Thorfinn, and kind of shows his way of like growing from a small kid to like a killer, to a slave, to an old man. So yes, and if you're if you know the show Vikings, you may kind of like it. I think it's based on real stories, like kings and lords are real there, but the Thorfinn probably is not a real person, not a real character. Yes, and it's just an interesting show. It's also full of action. It may be bloody, it may be like too much blood sometimes, but it has some fun moments, and it just, you know, it's kind of interesting to see from a historical point, just like historical part, like part of our history being, I'm sorry, being made as an anime, so why not to watch it? Just a second, let me drink some water, because I don't know why I'm yawning. I can hear myself, like, how do this? Oh yes, it's probably much better. So it has only two seasons. I'm currently finishing the second season. I'm not sure if there will be the third one, but if there will be, I will notify you about this. Fun fact, if you're a fan of One Punch Man, there was finally announced third season. I don't remember when the second season came out. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago. And it's kind of sad that it's such a great anime. It's like one of my most favorite animes. And it just releases like once in 5 years. I don't know, like the first season fully was released in 2017-18. The second was like in 2020-21. And now the third one will be probably by the end of this year. So yes, that's the first anime I can recommend for this part of the show. The second one is something interesting. I accidentally found it on Netflix too. And it's called, I think, Hungry Dungeon. Let me just double check it. I have Netflix on my phone, so whenever I'm in canteen, I can just watch something. That's the only time really when I that I have to watch anything with all those tasks and etc. It's something with dungeon for sure. Delicious in Dungeon, my bad. So yes, it's just a funny anime about mystical world, you know, where there is like goblins, dragons, elves, whatever, kind of like a Warcraft world. And it's just funny. I saw this when I read about it, like description was like about cooking in dungeon. However, just it's a little spoiler, but nothing special. Basically, that's an anime of how people who like conquers dungeon try to cook dungeon creatures. So like one guy uses golems, who are like creatures made of dirt and sand and stone, to grow crops on them. Then they try to use like fishmen as a like a smoked fish. So it's kind of, if you want to feel hungry, it looks good. It doesn't look disgusting. It looks really interesting, and you kind of really wanna eat something when you watch it. And it's funny. It's basically the plot is a group of dungeon heroes they almost died, they got out of the dungeon. However, like one of main character's sister got stuck very below the dungeon, like in lower levels, and character just tried to get there before she dies. And just so every episode they just cook something. So that's an ongoing anime, which was kind of sad, because I like to watch everything once, like I know there are like 12 episodes, and I can just calmly watch them, and I don't have to watch to wait every week for a new episode, which was kind of sad, because I watched like 10, sorry, goddamn, I'm still yawning. I think I need to sit straighter, maybe that's why, but it doesn't really change anything. So, yes, I've been saying that When I found it, I didn't notice that it will have another kind of like ongoing episodes happening, and I was just like, oh, okay, let me just watch it while I was doing some stuff. And I watched like in one evening, like just binge watched what I was doing, like translation at night for my work. And then there is like no really ending, and I was like, strange. And then I realized it's an ongoing. I was like sad, but it's fun anyway. Truly, yes. So we're almost out of time for our second part. So let's quickly add another show. I haven't seen this, but I heard a lot of good recommendations about it. So that's a Three Body Problem. It's a show made by creators of Game of Thrones, which I really liked. Even its last season was kind of okay. I wouldn't say it's like the best season with all the strange plot twists, but it's not like the worst ending, I can say. Yes, and so it's a good TV show made by these guys. It's based on Chinese sci-fi book, which is super popular for some reason. There are like 4 or 5 versions of this like book being like done as a TV shows in China, Korea, whatever, in like Asian world. And yes, and I recommend it because everyone says it's good. And basically the plot is, it's based on 2 time periods. In 1 time period, people try to get in touch with aliens. In the 2nd time period, in our time, scientists get disappearing, and kind of they get a message that like, don't respond, please stay away from us. So it's like kind of trying to communicate with aliens, something that was super, super, super crazy. And I'm planning to, when I will finish Vinland Saga, I will start watching it. So stay tuned. On our next episode, I will tell you, the next episode will be in 2 weeks, sure. Not further. And we'll discuss it for sure, how cool it is. So let's go on a small music break. And after this, we'll get back with our third part, which is nostalgia part, and where I will discuss, we will do some nostalgia about Kung Fu Panda. So hear you guys soon. So, finally, welcome to the last part.
I am sure you have missed me.
So, yes, welcome back to the most awesome show of ABG. Once Upon a Time in Geekland, where we discuss games, movies, TV shows, everything geeky, everything fun. So, yes, and we are in our third part, which is nostalgia part, which is... Usually I just pick something fun and old and we just discuss how old it is and how cool it is. And there have been a lot of like examples. Like, we've been talking about Simpsons, Family Guy, we've been talking about Friends, we've been talking How I Met Your Mother, we've been talking about The Office. Last time I think we've been talking about The Office, yes. And today's nostalgia episode is about Kung Fu Panda series. So Kung Fu Panda is a beloved animated film that has captures the hearts of both children and adults around the world. Released in 2008, this DreamWorks animation production centers around a bumbling yet determined panda named Po, who dreams of becoming a kung fu master. Can you imagine? It's like the fourth movie cartoon is out in the theaters right now, and it's been out for 16 years, like this series. So almost like every 4 years, there is a new episode coming. And I think it's almost feels like truth. I remember the second part, which is super crazy and super awesome. I think it was something out in like in 2013. I'm not sure if I was watching Donetsk in Kyiv. The third part was surely when I was in Kyiv. Maybe it was when I was in America. And there's been a big gap between third and fourth because creators were not sure to continue or not. But the result was there was also I think two animated TV series, like full just episodes about Paul and his adventures. As it usually happens, you know, it's cheaper to do a TV show with a bit cheaper animations, but with the same characters. So it's like you just put it on Nickelodeon, and it was also fun. There have been a lot of interesting like episodes. There are also a few awesome short films. I think they were released before the second part, about the Magnificent Five characters. So, yes, there's been spin-off TV shows, merchandise, video games, and even a theme park attraction. Damn, I didn't know about it. So it really has a lot of fans. And let's discuss some interesting facts about Kung Fu Panda. So Kung Fu Panda is an animated film franchise. The franchise revolves around the adventure of Po, a bumbling panda who becomes a legendary dragon warrior. Well, that's not a fact, that's a statement, I think. It doesn't really... Okay. Fact the 2, the first movie was released in 2008. Well, we discussed it. So can you imagine? 16 years! 16 years it's been out. And, I don't know, whenever we watch it, it kind of feels fresh. You know, there is always like a meaning to never give up, to try your best. There is always a way to become a master in everything. You just need to find a proper trainer and a proper way. Like for Po, it was food, which is super cool, which is super fun. The first movie got $16 million worldwide, so it's pretty big for a cartoon series. There are 3 movies in the Kung Fu Panda series. Well, it's not true, there are 4 of them. Oh yes, Kung Fu Panda released in 2011, so there's been 3 years between first and second. And Kung Fu Panda, it doesn't show in which year. I think it's like 2017 or 18. So there's been a big gap between 2 and 3. An even bigger gap, I think, between 3 and 4. Which is okay, like, as long as they do proper... I think people, not everyone was happy about the fourth part, but I think from what I've seen it, I really liked it. So the voice cast includes top Hollywood talents. The film boasts an impressive voice cast with actors such as Jack Black for Kung Fu Panda. I think he's perfect for Kung Fu Panda. Angelina Jolie, Dustin Hoffman, and Jackie Chan lending their voices to bring the characters to life. Whoa, I didn't know Jackie Chan was there. I wonder who he voiced. Probably Master Shifu. I think, yeah, it would be a good character for him, I think. Or he's a monkey, maybe. Because, I don't know, monkey is something like Chinese, probably. Anyway, fact number 5. Kung Fu Panda has a strong emphasis on martial arts. And it's true. When I've seen the first movie, I've been so surprised with the animations. And I can't imagine how hard it is to animate Kung Fu movements. It's like it's super hard job to do. The main character Po is voiced by Jack Black, so it's proper, it's super proper for he. Jack Black is an awesome character. If you have seen the Mario Brothers cartoon, he's been voicing the Bowser Dragon, and he did a really great job with like Peaches song, which was super meme and super fun for a long, long time. So the films blend humor and heartwarming moments. That's true. Those facts are kind of strange. Oh, the success of film led to spin-off TV shows. That's an interesting fact that I've been talking about. Due to their popularity, Kung Fu Panda expanded beyond the big screen with spin-off television series. These shows, such as Kung Fu Panda, Legends of Awesomeness. Sorry, I need some water. So there are 2 shows, Kung Fu Panda, Legends of Awesomeness, and Kung Fu Panda, The Paws of Destiny. I'm not sure which one I've seen. I think I've seen Legends of Awesomeness, which is kind of like a just every episode another adventure. I'm sorry, I'm just, for some reason, probably after talking an hour and 20 minutes, my just voice is kind of tired. But anyway, there is a, which really interesting fact is, it has its own attraction in Universal Studios. It's called The Emperor's Quest. It's really for the adventure ride located in Universal Studios Hollywood, which is super cool. I want to visit America just to check all this stuff, you know. Okay, Kung Fu Panda has received critical acclaim. That's true. I think everyone loves Kung Fu Panda. I think the second part was the most like emotional one because it touched like Po's. It really developed Po as a character. Talking about his dead parents at the time, he was thinking about this, about that bird, super cruel, super scary character. What interesting facts do we have here too? The music in Kung Fu Panda is composed by Hans Zimmer. If you don't know who this is one of the best compositors in the world. He did music for all Christopher Nolan movies, especially Interstellar, he's famous for that. For Dune and Dune 2, he did music. For Kung Fu Panda, Kung Fu Panda audio is really important too for the storytelling, and it's really awesome how good it sounds there. The character designs are influenced by traditional Chinese art. The character design in Kung Fu Panda pay homage to traditional Chinese art and culture. The animators have carefully crafted the appearances of the characters, incorporating elements such as calligraphy and traditional clothing. That's really cool. And, like, animators are from America. I'm not sure how many of them, like, probably there were some Chinese animators or, like, people with Chinese descendants or parents or from China. But still, like, most of animators think are, like, America-based. And imagine how much work you have to do as an animator to study another culture to know how to draw it. When I was, at some point in my life, I wanted to become an animator and I wouldn't survive probably all this stuff. I didn't know how hard it is to become like a good animator in such studios. Kung Fu Panda has spawned a successful franchise. That's true. With all this, there are also some video games. I've never really played them, but I'm sure there are a few good of them, and a few of them are like kind of mobile versions, especially like for the first and second movies. They were usually doing some like game related stuff to the movie release, which is not really good. Damn, those facts are not really fun. it just tells that FactsNet website stupid stuff. Don't really check facts there. Maybe let's check another website. Stuckcast, okay. Po's name is meaningful. According to the filmmaker, Po's full name is Po Ping or Bao Ping in Mandarin. This means precious peace, which is totally fitting with Po's peaceful persona. Mr. Ping also calls him Xiao Po, which means a little precious peace. Also, spoilers for the third movie. Po's birth name is revealed to be a little lotus. The lotus flower is symbolic of honesty, goodness, enlightenment, and purity, which is described Po's personality and character journey. That's much better fact. I should have checked this website before. There are some real-life relatives in the cast. This is quite common in the film industry, but it's always fun to find examples. In the first film, baby Tai Lung is voiced by director Mark Osborne's 6-year-old son. And the rabbit who calls Po attractive in the opening dream sequence is voiced by Jack Black's real-life wife. Cool. That's nice. I can participate in all this stuff, you know. The animators took kung fu classes. That's what I was talking about. Being an animator is really hard. You really have to study kung fu for all this stuff. Jackie Chan dubbed himself. That's what we were talking about. As well as being a martial arts star, Jackie Chan speaks English, Cantonese, and Mandarin fluently. So he played Master Monkey. Yes, I was right. He was playing Master Monkey. In all three dubs, he recorded all his English lines for the first film in a single 5-hour session. Damn! Wait, why 5-hour session? if the movie is like hour and a half, probably zero like second, like, you know, he should have repeated himself. Dustin Hoffman teaser Jack Black. For the, Dustin Hoffman is the one who voiced Master Shifu, like the little panda. I was surprised when I learned that Master Shifu is a red panda and they're really panda, so which it's really fun that they're both pandas, you know. Let's go like last fun fact and then should stop because it's almost time right now. So Mantis had a hidden plotline originally. Mantis is a green bug, if you didn't know. The original idea for Master Mantis was that he would be a secret villain working against Spore from within. This was changed later on as his character design was also changed to look less sneaky and more playful. There was also a plot beat in the second film where Mantis would be eaten by a female praying mantis. This is also dropped too, but that is what female praying mantis do in real life. That's true. That's true. So I think it was fun. Can you imagine, like, for 16 years, being an animator in this show, being a director in these movies, how much you learn? It's, like, becoming really part of your life. It's, like, two-thirds of my life, 16 years, basically. Damn, I feel old and young at the same time, and it kind of is small, but not young. But I hope you, if you've never seen Kung Fu Panda, I truly advise you to check. And I hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll hear each other in 2 weeks. I hope there will not be any changes. So have great weekends. Have great journey. Subscribe to geekland.show. Instagram. Subscribe to ABG Radio Aura. To Twitch channel. Follow us. There is also a Radio Aura Blog Wavegrad Instagram page with our main. So follow us. Write to us. We'll truly enjoy it. Check our Spotify. Geekland show, it's just called Once Upon a Time in Geekland or just Geekland, and you can hear recap there too. Unfortunately, I was being too dumb and I didn't record part of the first part of the show, but never mind. Biggest part is recorded, so enjoy your day, enjoy your night, whenever you are, have a great day. Follow your dreams as Paw did in Kung Fu Panda, and that was
Once Upon a Time in Geekland. Ciao, ciao.
Over unannounced, dressed up like you're something else. Where you are and where